Good morning. You all right? Monday, Monday. Me, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, of course I am. Hope you had a good weekend. Sincerely do. It is just gone 8 in the a.m. British summer time on Monday, the 20th of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Disembodied voice of the producer there. Okay, little bit of housekeeping. Oh, you know who you guys are. Royce Band, The Chosen Few, My Band of Brothers. Little bit of housekeeping. With the chat, you might have noticed already, we've made a couple of mods. So just be light touch, fellas. Only if people are being completely insane and are spamming crazy fed posting. Otherwise, I'll leave it with you though. We pick people we completely trust. Okay. You can only be in the chat if you've subbed to the channel for a while, a small while, like an hour or whatever. So anyway. All right. With all that out of the way, that's enough fannying around, isn't it? That's more than enough faffing for one morning. Let's just get into it. What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors lying to you about by omission, if nothing else, this morning? All right. Where's it? Oh, okay. So it's Burnham and football. That's what we got. They're the two main stories. Two stories completely dominating the news cycle. Burnham. Going to be Andy Bumham's King of the North's first day. No Stone and Burnham today. Tomorrow we'll get the news. Well, tomorrow. Today we'll get the news, but tomorrow morning, tomorrow's Bow Show. We'll talk all about what the new government is. What he actually plans to do. He still hasn't really told us, has he? Not in any real detail. So Burnham and football. So for the football people, this is it. This is it. This is the last time we shall be talking about football. For at least 2 years. So, just a few moments on it. And then we're done. And then we're done. But it is the second biggest story today. So we'll just quickly whip through it. There you go. Spain won. All right, that's it. Spain won. They won 1-0 in extra time. Messi's gutted and Spain are jubilant. That's it. That's it. Oh, other than say on Saturday, there was that game where the third and fourth place teams play a game that no one cares about. It's like a testimonial. It's like a friendly. No one cares. There's no pressure. England v France. England won 6-4. That's not penalties. That was during the game. 6-4 we beat France. Scored six goals past France. Amazing. Incredible. Really good game. Anyway. World Cup final. The game itself was really quite boring. Like they nearly always are. Last World Cup wasn't. World Cup final. But nearly all the other World Cup finals I can remember before that, pretty boring, because there's so much at stake. Both sides are so standoffish. They're scared to do anything. It's one of those. So, there you go. Couple of little data points to say. One, Donald Trump. Look, that's not photoshopped. They haven't photoshopped the Donald there. He was actually there. Being that it's held in America, he got to be the person that walks out with the World Cup. Look, there's the World Cup there, the actual physical trophy of the World Cup. He gets to walk out and give it to the captain. And then they all cheer. They raise it in the air and they all cheer. And usually Donald Trump or whoever it would be would usually sort of exit the stage, literally physically exit the stage after they give them the trophy so that all the glory is just with the team. But Trump didn't. Trump like stood there. And even like the FIFA president was like trying to usher him away. But Trump like refused to. So he stood there. What was it? Oh, there's a bit of a fight. After the final whistle, bit of a fight. Bit of a kerfuffle, bit of argy-bargy. That's it. There was a halftime show with Madonna and Shakira. That's it. Wayne Rooney called the halftime show crap. That's basically it. That's basically everything that we say. Oh, look, awkward moment, Trump ignores FIFA president. There's the FIFA president trying to usher Trump away. Get away. This isn't your moment, dude. But he just refused to. Awkward moment, Trump ignores FIFA president's call to leave the stage as he joins Spain World Cup final trophy lift. Donald shuffles off as confetti cannons fire. So he didn't want to get covered in confetti, though. Okay, that really is it. There's no more football now for a couple of years at least. Okay. Oh, one last thing to say that's not even football related. Do you remember recently, in like the last week or two at most, the Donald had like a diplomatic issue with Spain. Remember that? At the NATO meeting like a week or two ago. He said, the United States, we're just going to cut off all trading with Spain. Just end it. Not sure I actually went through with that or that happened or anything, but so of all countries, is not particularly welcome in that moment would be Spain. I mean, there'd be other countries as well, wouldn't there? But, you know, Spain. So, all right, that is basically it. No more football. It's on more of the front pages, but we'll go over it. All right, the other main story, a real story. Burnham's new era of big state. Centralise the economy more, but also simultaneously do more devolution. Weird. Lottery, the national lottery, Thames Water and buses among targets for nationalisation, apparently. Apparently. We still haven't got the details, have we? So today, big day in Whitehall and Westminster, really. What will happen is Starmer will come out at some point mid-morning, before midday, I believe, at some point. He'll come out and he'll do a little speech at that lectern in front of Number 10, saying his final goodbyes. Probably another list of all the great things he's achieved. How he's leaving Britain better and stronger and more prosperous than it was when he came into power. So a few words like that. Then he'll drive off to the palace, Buckingham Palace, which is only like a few hundred yards away, half a mile away at most. Drive down there, go and see the King, big fat sausage fingers, Charles Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, hand in his resignation as Prime Minister. And then a few minutes later, a few moments later, no Sternham Burnham. And his guy liner, Manscara, will turn up and he'll go into the palace and meet Sausage Fingers. And Sausage Fingers will ask him to form a new government. And then Andy Burnham will. That won't take too long, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever, usually. Then he'll leave the palace, drive back to Number 10 Downing Street. It's only like a 2 minute drive. This time in a prime ministerial armoured Jag rather than a normal car. She's been Prime Minister now. And then he'll... The classic thing, he's clapped... They always clap him, whoever it is. All the staff of Number 10 will clap him in as he comes in. There'll be all the paparazzi outside Number 10 clicking away. Shout, Mr. Burnham, what do you plan to do? He'll go in there, they'll clap him in. He gets the nuclear codes. That's one of the very first things. Like our nuclear submarines, Typhoon submarines with the nukes on them. He gets the codes. Or he has to write letters to the captains, or the admirals, are they? On those nuclear submarines. In the event of a nuclear war. Say Russia or whoever. Nukes Britain out of the blue. The commanders on those nuclear submarines need to know what they're supposed to do in case Number 10 and Andy Burnham is now just glass. There's no leadership anymore. It just got nuked. They need to know what to do without any further orders, whether they're to launch back or not. Okay? That's one of the first things a new Prime Minister always has to do, write those letters, whether they say, and it's secret. It's up to the Prime Minister. He can say, look, if we get nuked, don't do a retaliatory strike. That's not worth it. What's the point of that? Or, yes, annihilate them. Start a nuclear winter. Yeah, so they do that. Then he'll probably get a load of calls from all foreign leaders. You know, probably the United States, France, you know, Germany, whatever, all of them. China. And then he'll start picking his cabinet. And they come in, they walk into the front of Number 10. They don't have to do it this way, but they walk into the front of Number 10 one at a time, in front of like the banks of paparazzi and reporters. One by one, they walk in so everyone can see who's being picked and, well, who isn't really. The reporter's shouting, Miss Rayner, what job do you expect to get? Mr. Streeting, what do you... Oh no, he probably won't be there. Where Streeting may or may not get any sort of job. We'll see. And quite often they're brought in sort of order of who's most important. Not always, but usually like the first person summoned to Number 10 will be the Chancellor or the Home Secretary. Anyway, all that's going to play out today. And then Burnham will do a little speech himself, telling us for the first time really what he plans to do in government. What a crazy way of doing things, right? He's actually in power before we get to hear what he wants to do, what he's going to do in any detail. I mean, he's given very, very, very broad strokes of the brush, isn't he? But beyond that, leaked a few things, you know, leaked that he wants to entirely scrap the ID card, digital ID card project, which is nice, that's good, I'll take that. But beyond that, we don't know whether he plans to really just keep going almost exactly with Starmer and the manifesto. Not that Starmer really followed the manifesto. Not that there was much detail in the manifesto in the first place. Or whether he's going to do things massively different. One of the big sticking points everyone's waiting on, tenterhooked to hear what he's going to say, is about North Sea oil drilling. Drill, baby, drill. Over the last few days, I've seen a number of different reports both ways, saying, yeah, Burnham plans to drill loads. And other reports saying, no, he's going to keep to the Labour manifesto, i.e. to not drill in the North Sea. Again, crazy that this man can get to power and we don't know. Or, you know, whether he really will nationalise, as this headline says, the lottery, Thames Water and buses. Whether he really is going to nationalise, we just got to sit there and wait. Not a great way of doing things. He hasn't got a mandate, has he? There's one of the headlines we'll get to later. Messiah without a mandate. Yeah. Just 25,000 people in Makerfield and 300 Labour MPs. That's not much of a mandate, is it? 99.99999% of the people he now rules had no say in it whatsoever. Okay, Nandi set to take charge of new super ministry for housing. Lisa Nandi. Of, was it the Runnymede Trust fame? Her father started the Runnymede Trust. Lisa Nandi, who's sort of a complete idiot. A lot of these people are idiots, aren't they? Like Lammy or whatever. She's one of those. Or like Angela the Fridge Rainer Big Bird. Like, really. Quite stupid, or below averagely stupid, I would say. Completely unimpressive as a person and a politician. And of course, an arch globalist, an arch traitor. She's set to be put in charge of a new super ministry for housing. I thought Angela the Fridge Rainer wanted her old housing job back. We shall see. I wonder if there'll be many upsets in terms of any of the big beasts not being invited back to government. Any new faces no one's ever really heard of are suddenly like in charge of an important department. Again, we've just got to wait and see. Okay. Heat pump homes face winter rationing and drive to net zero. You've got to be cold in the winter because of net zero, really. Johnson, that'll be Boris Johnson. Mandarins to blame for Boris wave, really. He says it was civil servants in Whitehall that made that happen. Really? You're in charge of them, though, Boris. Were in charge of them. Trying to pass the buck. This was weird when I read this. I hate this stuff. Look at this complete idiot. I've never heard of her before. Jane Schilling. Jane Schilling of the Tory graph says, writes an article and gets it published in the Tory graph. I haven't read the Odyssey and I'm not ashamed to say so. Well, good for you, love. Yeah, well done, cretin. I hate anti-intellectualism. I hate it. It's not okay to be dumb. Don't revel in being ignorant and dumb. Don't do that. It's not clever. The irony. I haven't read the Odyssey. Okay, most people haven't. That's okay. But why I'm not ashamed of it. Why you're proud of it. You're proud to be unlettered, unread. I'd be proud of that. Idiot. Sickening, really. I hate that stuff. I hate that stuff. Here's why I'm an idiot and you should be too. No. No, I reject that. Jane Schilling. Ugh, why are you giving us these people and these takes, the Telegraph? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? A true cretin, a true minnow. Small person. Honestly, honestly, weird. What is our society coming to? I'm not ashamed that I don't know pretty normal things. I haven't read one of the greatest classics of all time. I'm not ashamed of that. And you're gonna write opinion pieces, are you? It's okay for any normal person to have not read the Odyssey. That's okay. As I say, most people haven't. Don't be proud of it. Don't then tell us that you know about the world and your opinion is so valuable it should be printed in a broadsheet. No. Get lost. Get away from me. Ugh, get off of me. Gross. Anti-intellectualism. It's never okay. Pretty much never. Right, the eye paper. Burnham pledges breathing room to help UK on cost of living as he moves into number 10. Let's read the little blurb. It's probably the best you get on Fleet Street on any given day. Andy Burnham to promise fresh package to ease cost of living crisis when he makes his first speech as Prime Minister in Downing Street today. That's one of the things I think will probably characterise his premiership. Much like Starmer, much like a lot of the Prime Ministers we've had in the last few years, just tinkering around the edges, just moving the deck chairs on the Titanic half a mil. Going to help with cost of living by doing tiny little measures. Oh, we'll make buses free in summer or something for kids, something like that. We'll give you like £120 a year to help with your like energy bill or something, you know, silly little measures like that. Not having the guts, the balls to actually make big movements when you're in power, when you're in government. Just tinker around the edges while everything goes to pot. He's such a weak man. I think he's pretty stupid as well. Don't you get that impression with Burnham? It might not be quite as bad as somebody like Lammy, who may be clinically retarded. Or Angela the refrigerator, or Lisa Nandy, one of those people who seem, as I say, below average. Your average person off the street picked at random. He's not quite as bad as those, but not far off. I don't get the feeling of any sort of real gravitas, any weight to his intellect. Do you? You sort of get that a bit with someone like, I don't know, who like? Somebody like Blair or Brown, maybe. You know, I don't agree with their politics. You know me. I don't agree with their politics. But you can tell that they've spent a lifetime reading and learning and that they're no fool. Don't get that impression with Burnham. Again, the thing I think that most characterises him, in my personal opinion, is like student activism. Like a first year undergrad who's learnt just enough words, just enough buzzwords to form an argument, a stupid backward argument. That's what he feels like to me. He's learnt just enough history to give the impression, the veneer of the impression that they know what they're talking about. And any scrutiny of it and it will fall apart like tissue paper, wet tissue paper. That's what Burnham seems like to me. Like his mind is stuck in student politics mode. Like he was told when he was a teenager or when he was in the 20s that Mrs. Thatcher was bad, capitalism is bad. And that's it, and that's it. He's stuck with that ever since. New PM expected to focus on domestic agenda, arguing that political stability will be needed to deliver tangible improvements in people's lives. But nothing about migration, I think. Nothing about the fact that your town or city has been colonised by foreign people in the last 5 years, 10 years. Nothing about that. Not that tangible improvement to people's lives. No. Not that Britain is like one of the rape capitals of the world. 190, 200 odd rapes a day. Not that tangible improvement to people's lives. No. No. Okay. You're just going to nationalise the buses. I see. More safe and legal, Rich, if anything, eh, Andy? Energy bill and bus fare caps among potential new measures, along with cancelling digital ID scheme. Well, of course, I and a lot of us will welcome the cancelling of the digital ID scheme. But putting caps on, I think, doesn't work. It never, ever works. Someone else will have to pay for these things somewhere else down the line. No such thing as a free lunch. But that's socialist economic theory for you. Divorced from reality. Then when the Treasury no longer can function properly, you'll blame the bond with the evil bond markets. MPs who helped put Burnham into number 10 brace for cabinet reshuffle as they vie for ministerial jobs. There'll be a lot of the big beasts in the Labour Party today, right now, sitting there with fingers crossed, everything crossed. Oh, I hope Andy picks me. He said he would. I wonder if he actually will. Some of Andy's people have told some of my people that I might get picked. Yeah. The Guardian, ugh. The Guardian. The Guardian. Sickening filth. Subversive. Commie slop. The Guardian. Right, there's Shakira. Doing a dance. Okay. Time for UK to face up to its challenges, said Burnham. Yeah, but you're not going to face up the real challenges. Oh, yeah. A demographic replacement. A sectarian nightmare along racial, religious, tribal lines. That challenge, the main challenge, the challenge of which everything else is downstream of. You won't face up to that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Why is the NHS under so much pressure? Why are the prisons and police under so much pressure? Why are school sizes, classroom sizes gigantic? And on and on and on and on. Why is there a housing crisis? Because you flooded us with millions of new people, somewhere between 10 and 20 million new people since 1997. Will you face up to that challenge? Talk about re-migration? No. Nope. Have to be a bigot or a racist to dream of talking in such a fashion. Andy Burnham's a good boy. We won't be talking about that. Labour leader to become Prime Minister and begin appointing cabinet today. All right. Farage admits fraudster Cotterill paid for filming. Until the investigation comes back and it's sort of sure that Farage did anything wrong. As much as I'm not a reformer, I'm not going to pay much attention to it. Apparently that guy, George Cotterill, posh George, not only let Nigel stay at one of his homes one time, or two times, whatever, but also paid for some social media filming that was done before the last election. So what? And that the party or Nigel said, it's totally undeclarable in every single way. I'll wait for an investigation to decide that. And it just seems like it's just, again, we're not reform here at Lotus Eaters, are we? I'm not. We're Rupert Lowe. But this just seems like sort of pathetic attempt to try and ruin him. All right. Fears of stateless babies amid surrogacy boom. Why? Never used to suffer from anything like this. in the 20th century. Never. It would have been an insane thing to think that there would be any problem with a large number, relatively large number of stateless babies in Britain. What kind of perversion led to that? All right, the Times, the venerable Times. Mariella Frostrop says what not to say to her daughter. Don't care. God, don't care. Mariella Frostrop. Okay, love. All right. Defence spending must be British priority, says US ambassador. At least a little bit more spending. But Spain won the World Cup, and there's the Donald not off the stage. We've done that, haven't we? Trump booed on football's biggest stage. Yeah, Trump's not particularly in favour with Spanish people, is he? Bumham, my 10-year UK plan. Yeah, okay. Okay. 10-year plan. Sure about that? You sure about that? Yeah, he's not going to be there for 10 years, is he? Labour leader pledges to reduce cost of living by tinkering around the edges, trying to effectively bribe people. We'll have a little bit of money. Now you'll vote for me, yeah? Pathetic. Pathetic. The Mirror. The England boys have come home. The Lions have come home. It's funny, they look like African people or Caribbean people. They're supposed to be Englishmen, are they? Weird. First day at number 10. Look at him. Look at this claymation turtle. What a weird... Is it too much to ask for to have politicians that aren't weirdos? Apparently it is. Just at a glance, weirdo. Bumming ambition. Sorry, I misread that. Burning ambition. Bumham starts his with cost of living and social care pledge. Our seventh prime minister in 10 years says he'll end chaos and bring hope. Really? Bring hope? What do you mean? You're not Nelson Mandela, mate. You're not Obama. What do you mean bring hope? You're not going to talk about how we've been invaded by millions of foreign people that mean us nothing but harm and are a net negative to our economy and the fabric of our social society. Are we going to bring hope? Right. Sure you are. Sure you are. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. BBC's Nikki Campbell apologises for slur. I couldn't even be bothered. It'd probably take a 2-second Google search to find out what slur Nikki Campbell had used. Couldn't be bothered. Don't care. Look at Madonna, look at the state of it. You're old, love. Madge, you're knocking 70, love. You're 67 years old, dearie. Stop trying to be hip. Stop trying to be cool. What are you doing? You're a nan. Stop. It's gross. Madonna. Ugh. You're vaguely hip 40 years ago, love. Ugh. Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, the anchor baby, somehow finds herself leader of the opposition, calls for burden on families to be eased and benefits bill cut. New Prime Minister has no mandate to raise taxes again. Andy Burnham enters Downing Street today without either a plan for government or a mandate for raising taxes, Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, warned. I mean, she's not wrong. He hasn't got a mandate, has he? The Messiah without a mandate. Very naughty boy. It's naughty to try and rule a people without any sort of mandate, isn't it? That's quite naughty behaviour. Okay, the Financial Times. Blows to Kiev. Yeah, Russia's launched loads more strikes against Ukraine. Burnham seeks tight grip on spending with beefed up control centre at number 10. See, so... I moved a little bit more towards a command economy because Reds love that. Socialists love that. That's always their plan. Beefed up control centre at number 10. Wants to nationalise things. Bring more and more things under the purview of the government, but also, and at the same time, more devolution down to the local level. Isn't that incoherent? How does that even really make sense? Is that sort of a solid vision? No. Again, it's sort of student politics. You don't really know what you're doing or talking about, isn't it? You think you do, because you've got Dunning-Kruger effect. You think you do. When you put it under the tiniest amount of scrutiny, you scratch the surface and it's nonsense. Or there's just nothing there. First year undergrad politics. You've convinced yourself you've got all the answers because you're young and arrogant. You've done a tiny bit of reading, but actually you don't know your ass from your elbow, actually. Yeah, Andy Burnham. That's Andy Burnham. Less reliance on imperial treasury. What does that even mean? Pledge to restore faith in government. Really? And cabinet name today. Andy Burnham's going to restore faith in government. That's such a broad thing, isn't it? Going to restore faith in government. Why? How? Because you wear a t-shirt sometimes. What do you mean? How? What, through the sheer force of Andy Burnham's character and personality? The sheer force of his will? The iron-like will of Andy Burnham will give people no other option but to regain faith in government. Okay, all right. I wouldn't be surprised if the left of the Labour Party coup him out within a year or before 2029. Wouldn't be surprised. He won't do what they want. It was them that couped him into power, basically, wasn't it? It was them, the left of the Labour Party, MPs that are much harder left than him, that forced the issue to get him selected in Makerfield and then coronated him in. So that even the Labour membership and the unions don't get a say on it. So he's their creature now, or that's what they will want. That's how they will see it. He'll be their creature. He has to do exactly, more or less, exactly what they want. And he's not going to, because he won't be able to. And he actually doesn't see the world the same way that they do. He's like a wishy-washy pinko, isn't he? He's a Blairite, rightist deviation type dude. He won't do what they want a fair amount of the time. So it's civil war. The way they treated Starmer, i.e. undermining him and voting against him all the time. Why did Starmer have 18, 20 plus U-turns in government? Because of them. Because they forced him to U-turn. Will they treat Burnham in exactly the same way? Yeah, almost certainly, I would have thought. He wants to do something that's in our national interest. Let's say the drilling for oil in the North Sea. It's sort of a no-brainer to do that. Why wouldn't we do that? Well, unless you believe the liar, the nonsense hoax that man-made CO2 drives climate change. 400 parts per million drives climate change of CO2 in the atmosphere. That if Britain drills in the North Sea, all the ice caps will melt. Unless you believe that insane nonsense, why wouldn't you drill in the North Sea? It's absolutely in our national interest to do that. Of course it is. So he'll probably want to do that. Some of the noises are, even this morning and over the weekend, that he wants to do that. Will they sort of, because they don't want, the left of the Labour Party don't want him to do that, because they have bought that silly narrative. There won't be a world left if we do that. The green narrative and agenda is childlike, isn't it? And dangerous, not childlike in sort of a benevolent, sort of cute way, of course. Childlike in that sort of backward, insane way. Makes no sense. doesn't add up. You ask one or two questions and it falls apart. Will they prevent Burnham from really doing anything much in government? Well, let's hope so. We can run the clock out to 29 and get a real government. Okay, the Daily Mail. Pure globalist, subversive, traitorous, seditious slop. Wearing the skin suit of patriotism. Trying to pretend it's on your side or it's got the best interests of the nation. Oh, no, they haven't, no. Look how they try and demonise everyone from Nigel on to the right. Let alone Rupert, let alone people like us. Try and demonise you and destroy you. That's the Mail. That's how patriotic they are. Scum. Absolute scum. They say, Messiah without a mandate. Burnham doesn't speak for us, say voters in South. Doesn't really speak for hardly anyone, does he? 25,000 voters in Makerfield, perhaps. As he enters number 10, Mail poll reveals he faces legitimacy crisis. Andy Burnham faces an extraordinary crisis of legitimacy when he enters Downing Street today. Yeah. Shakira's halftime show shakes up World Cup final, does it? Does it? Who cares? Oh, look. Is that Ronaldinho? And Brazilian Ronaldinho and Brazilian Ronaldo, not Cristiano Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo. He's got fat, hasn't he? He's supposed to be a footballer, look at him. And Madonna. International embarrassment, Madonna. Give it a rest, love. Have some dignity. Madonna. Act your age. You're not 25. Ugh. All right, I can't even look at it. It's gross. Andy Burnham becomes PM. Government chaos on North Sea drilling. Yeah, we're not even sure what he exactly will do. He could come out today and said, we're going to drill, baby, drill. Or words to that effect. Or come out and say, no, it's the wrong thing to do. It'll destroy the planet if we drill anything at all, more or less. We've got no idea. That's our system. Trump piles on pressure. Apparently Trump did make some sort of statement saying when there was noises out of the Burnham camp that they were going to drill in the North Sea, Trump praised that. Turmoil. Clever wordplay, isn't it? Very, very clever. The Sun had to employ people that had done English language and English literature at master's level in order to come up with that masterpiece. Turmoil. Very, very, very clever wordplay. Okay, the Metro. The Metro. We're not socialists. Stop. Get some help. The Metro. Three Lions land as new Prime Minister installed. Welcome home. There's been a few changes. Yeah, the England team have come home now from America. That's front page, apparently, according to them. The Star. What slop is the Star serving up for us today? Ex-model set to reveal all. Don't care. Rhiannon, truth about Vernon's sexts. Right. Sexually explicit texts. Sexts. Radio 2G DJ, Vernon Kay, that man. Braces for revelations in a book that publishers are fighting over. Don't care about... He's married to Tess Daly, wasn't he? Isn't he? They're getting divorced at the moment. And years ago, he had an affair with this woman. Who I've never even heard of. Rhiann Sugden. I spent too long on that already. A few seconds I spent on that was far too much. All right. They're the front pages. They're the increasingly absurd front pages of Fleet Street today. On Monday the 20th of July. It's a crazy world. All right, let's have a look at our poll. It's asked you about Andrew Tate. So, before I reveal the results of the poll... Let's have a look. Andrew Tate and his brother is in the news. Oh, look, here we go. Look, on ITV News. Andrew and Tristan Tate arrested in Miami amid new sexual offence charges. Tate brothers in a spot of bother. It's actually all over the news. Look, Sky News. Andrew and Tristan Tate held in solitary confinement in US jails, lawyer claims. Yeah, they're in a spot of trouble. Again. Was it in the BBC as well? I think it was in the BBC. Yeah, so story is, they were in America. There you go, look. Tate brothers arrested in US as further UK charges take total to 59. Oof. This is the moment of Mr. Tate's arrest. So they're in America. They just got out of their car. And then cops sweep on them and handcuff them. He didn't put up any resist arrest or anything. Both of them. And, they're now under arrest, being held in America. And they're looking at... The talk is of extradition to the UK to face loads of charges. Well, 59 charges. Andrew more than Tristan, but still. What are the charges? Pretty bad ones, actually. Rape. Multiple counts of that. Human trafficking. Child pornography. Of course, the Tate camp will say it's all a stitch-up, won't they? Well, they do. They do. They say, just give us our day in court and we'll show it's all just a stitch-up. Talk about this for a moment. My card's on the table. I think I've made it. I think I've said a number of times explicitly, I'm not a fan of Andrew Tate. I don't know anything about Tristan Tate. I've never watched any content of his. Andrew Tate. Put it this way. I've watched, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours in total of Andrew Tate content over years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, 5 years, probably more like, in total, a number of clips, a few dozen clips, maybe more, a bit more, two or three long form videos, a few hours at most. So far from it, can I say, I watch Andrew Tate or follow Andrew Tate or know loads about all his takes. But still, must have watched maybe 2, 3, 4 hours in total over the years. And I would say I agree with maybe 20-30% at most 40% of his takes. Sometimes he does a take and I'm like, yeah, right on. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I couldn't disagree with you. But half or more than half of the things I've seen him say, I'm like, that's wrong. Or just, what are you talking about? Where's that coming from? That's sort of mad to me. Why are you saying that? It's not a very good hit ratio for me. Right? If I agree with about maybe 80% of someone's takes, that's really high. I like that person. 80%, a good 20% I don't agree with. That's still good in my book. That's still good. Less than half. It's not like he's never said anything good or that I agree with. You know, like someone like, Owen Jones or some of those people off LBC, James O'Brien, where it's like it's nothing they say, or like 1%, under 5% of anything they've ever said I can agree with. It's not that. He's not that. But like a few takes he's done. I remember there was one where there was going to be some giant super mosque built in London where the Trocadero is, or was, a super mosque. And he thought that was great and it was brilliant and that's what Britain deserves. So he converted to Islam. Okay, Andrew. You're no friend of mine then. You're no friend of Britain if you come out with that. Even ironically. Even if he was being completely ironic, which I don't think he was. Pretty sure he wasn't. Even if he was, why do that? Why are you saying that? You want super mosques in Britain, do you? Do you? When he came out right at the beginning of this Persia war and he was in Dubai or one of the Emirates, came out with a few takes that are just wrong, just flat out wrong. Like, who told you, Andrew Tate, you know about the world, you know about geopolitics? Loads of things he says about women. Again, maybe 40, 30% of it, I'm like, yeah, fair enough, yeah, yeah. Men, don't put up with a shit test from a woman, stuff like that, yeah. Okay, be confident in and of yourself as a man. All that sort of thing. Yeah, good, great. Then a whole bunch of other stuff he says, like, about women and relationships. Like, Dude, that's weird. That's unhealthy. Like, what's wrong with you? What sort of relationship have you got with your mother? Like, what is, like, are you mad? Like, that's, it says some crazy stuff. Okay, with all that said, I'm not much a fan of Andrew Tate. I wouldn't say I hate his guts and I'm glad he's in prison. I hope he goes down forever. I wouldn't say that. I'll say I don't like him. If someone said, you can go and have a drink and a beer with Andrew Tate for free, I'd be like, yeah, no thanks. Yeah, pass. Thank you. That's my feeling on him. Okay, all right. Now this, though, they're legal problems. That's something different. So I've got to try and put aside my dislike of the Tate brothers, or Andrew Tate anyway. Put that to one side. Let's talk about the actual legal things. He was all in trouble, wasn't he, in Romania? So he like lives in Romania or spends a lot of his time in Romania. And then they were arrested there and held on remand, or Romania's version of being held on remand, under like these same sort of serious type charges. Like prostitution, was it? And people trafficking and maybe sexual assault, maybe rape, I don't know. Stuff like that. And then they were released from being held on remand and were even allowed to travel again. But the actual investigation and the cases hasn't ended. They may still have questions to answer in Romania. Okay. Again, innocent until proven guilty in my book. But then now they're in America and it's Britain. It's in Great Britain. It's the CPS, the Crown Prosecution Service, that want them. For 59 charges, or at least in Andrew Tate's case, 59 charges. Really, really serious stuff. And, well, the feds in the US have arrested them and they're looking to be extradited to the UK to face justice. And, as I said, their team are saying it's all a stitch-up. Well, because he says sort of anti-establishment, anti-globalist things, they must destroy him. You're not that important, dude. You're not that important. Yeah, you're an influencer, a big influencer, one of the biggest influencers in the world, you might say. Certainly in the manosphere. Manosphere. Okay, you're an important voice in the world. You're not that important. Not that important that the global cabal need you silenced. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is that it seems you do have legitimate questions to answer around sexual assault and prostitution and trafficking and even child pornography, according to this report today. Doesn't mean you did it. I'm not saying you're guilty. I'm saying the CPS thinks you've got questions to answer. So, okay. There you go. All right, now back to our poll. We asked you today, over 1,100 votes in, knocking up towards 1,200. Are you a fan of Andrew Tate? We gave you yes, no, and who. And the no's have it. It's actually quite a stonking win. I was surprised it's as strong a win as that. I feared I might lose the vote there, because I would be ticking no if I was taking that poll. I feared I might lose, but no, the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers, we're all on the same page. The no's have it. 76% of you say no, you're not a fan of Andrew Tate. 13% yes, said yes. And 11% of you said who. Okay, good. I feared it'd be a lot closer than that, or might even lose. But no. It's a firm, firm win. If that was a national referendum, you'd claim a mandate for all time on the strength of that, wouldn't you? 76% of you. Again, knocking up to 1,200 votes. All right. There you go. We'll watch your space. Again, just like Nigel and his money, I wait for the proper investigation, the proper verdict to come out before I'll start really pouring scorn on someone. Should be considered innocent until proven guilty. I don't know if Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate has done any of these things. I'm not in their inner circle. All right. It's nearly 10 to 9. Should we move on? What other stories were there of note? All right, should we just move on to the on this day in history? There's that fight. Look, the Argies were a bit annoyed that they got that they lost. Some actual punches were thrown. Wasn't that bad. Wasn't like a massive fight in baseball when they're actually really fighting. Or in ice hockey. And actually knock each other out. Wasn't that bad. It was one or two punches thrown. All right, on this day in history, should we have a look at that? I quite like doing that segment. You guys like doing that, me doing that segment, I think. On this day, the 20th of July, down through the centuries, what happened of note? All right, we're told that on this day in 1793, Scottish explorer Alexander Mackenzie completes the first European east to west crossing of America, north of Mexico. Quite interesting. That's before the Lewis and Clark expedition, isn't it? Mildly interesting. I don't know about that particular expedition in a great amount of detail. I've heard about it before, but I've not read a book about it or anything, so I don't really know any real detail. There you go. It's still quite late, right? Well, I consider it quite late. The late 18th century, the end of the 18th century, before many people are really going out, heading out California way. Oh, we're thinking about heading out California way. It's quite late. Yeah, you would have, you might have thought that was done in the 16th century at some point. No. All right, on this day in 1921, Congresswoman Alice Mary Robertson becomes the first woman to preside over the floor of US House of Representatives. Don't care. Don't care. They do that, don't they? They do that now. They'll find a really, really obscure bit of history. The first black woman to do something. The first woman to do something. No one's ever heard of it before. It's crazily obscure. And they regurgitate it like it's history now. Well, of course it is history. But like it's armchair history, well known, it's a thing that everyone should know about history now. No. No. Alice Robertson, don't care. Not important. You would only think that was important if you did have a massive chip on your shoulder about being a woman. Oh, Alice Robertson, the first congresswoman, is really important. No, it isn't. No. On this day in 1969, NASA's Apollo 11 lunar module, carrying Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, lands on the surface of the moon, if you believe that. I do, I do. Is this just a footprint on an island somewhere, on a remote island somewhere in Alaska, and they've just changed the colouring on the camera? That's actually a footprint somewhere in Alaska. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin land on the surface of the moon. 7 hours later, Armstrong becomes the first person to step onto the moon at 56 minutes past 10 Eastern Time, and Aldrin joins him short after. Michael Collins, that's the astronaut Michael Collins, not the boxer, or the revolutionary hero. There's more than one Michael Collins in history. It's a common name, actually, isn't it, Michael Collins? Michael Collins, not to be confused with Michael Collins or Michael Collins, remains in orbit in the command module. And there's a famous footprint. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Okay, on this day in 1976, Viking 1 lands on Mars at Crassi Planitia, the first successful Martian landing. Yeah, Viking 1. Very, very interesting. One of the first things to land on Mars. Finally get views of the Martian surface. Incredible. There's a good bit. Carl Sagan in Cosmos talks about Viking 1 at one point. Very good. Very good. Viking 1, Viking 2. Great stuff. On this day in 2017, China announces a plan against, quote, foreign garbage, quote, banning the import of 24 categories of plastic and recyclable waste from 2019. Do they? Okay, good. Not a great factoid, is it, that last one? All right, should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen properly. I think we'll get Global Church History, newly created mod. Arise, Sir Global Church History. You have been created a mod. Global Church History, he is in at number one. Reigning, defending, and still champ of the Rumble Rants. First in, he says, today in 1500, exactly 1500 AD, Queen Isabella of Castile ordered all abducted Native Americans returned. Good. Remigration. That's remigration. And you say, and in 1857, St. Jose San Giorgio, St. Jose San Giorgio was beheaded in Tonkin, prompting the Spanish to invade Vietnam on behalf of France. And that's interesting. The history of Vietnam, I'm very, very fascinated in. It's one of those things that even as a young kid, I was very, very interested in. Like World War One, the American Civil War, the Napoleonic Wars, the campaigns of Alexander, the campaigns of Henry V. By the time I'm a teenager, at one point, I was fascinated by Vietnam, the American War in Indochina in the 60s and 70s. Fascinated by that. Read lots and lots all around it. Should really do more content on it. In fact, one of my epochs, my history theme show on lotuseaters.com, O'Day's Epochs, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bonus to your membership. I got one long form bit of content on there from only about 6 months ago where I talk all about, it was one of the type, well, one of the type, sometimes on Epochs it's a broad narrative, a story I'm telling. Sometimes it's like a really tight thing that only took place over a few days. This one was relatively tight. I was just talking about the Navy SEALs in Vietnam just in 1967. So I'd read a few essays about that, and I thought it was an interesting story. But so, if you want to know all about the Vietnam War, the American adventure in Vietnam in the 1670s, you have to go back, don't you, to truly understand it. The French in Indochina, Eventually, you'll end up somewhere here. So there was like, what is this? There was the Second Opium War going on. That's the British and the French, a little bit of Russia and a little bit of America, mainly the British and the French, having a war with China, the Second Opium War. And at the same time, the French think, oh, maybe we can take what is today Vietnam. It's like Indochina, it was Siam. Siam is sort of broadly Thailand, places that are like Laos, even Cambodia, all of that. Cochin China, it was called back then. In fact, this is called the Cochin China campaign. It's interesting, actually, Global Church History, you characterize it as Spain invaded Vietnam on behalf of France. It was both a French and Spanish thing, but it was mainly a French thing. As I understand it, I might be wrong. As I understand it, it was mainly a French thing. They had a few Spanish troops help them. Anyway, I won't go into silly detail here right now, but that kicks off, 100 years odd of French colonial rule on and off in various ways in French Indochina, which was much more than just Vietnam. As I say, big parts of Cambodia, Thailand. Tonkin is all like at the top of Vietnam. Places that don't exist, we don't call them that anymore. But okay, long story. Should really start there. If you really want to know all about America and Vietnam, really want to know, should at least start there, I would say. All right. And the second Rumble Rant today for T and Barber. Morning, mate. All right. Good weekend. Yes, thank you. Yeah, not too bad. Yourself? Hope you did have a good weekend. You say, the final on Saturday was great 10-goal game. It was. That was like an interesting good game of football. England went 4-0 up against France. How about that? The Sunday kickabout was crap, yeah. Most World Cup finals are. There's too much at stake. Okay. Hopefully Restore get close to Manchester mayor election. Have a great day ahead. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah. Hopefully Marlon does well in the Manchester mayoral election. All right, they're the only two rubber rants we've got this morning. Shall we have a look at the YouTube ones? Well, Harry's already got it here. There's a dozen or more. Let's read them. Feeling Clumsy 6968 says, on this day in history in 2027, Dadian forces storm the Lotus Eaters office and install Bo as CEO. This ends several years of Benjaminite oppression. Lotus Eaters is already the Bo Dade experience featuring Cole Benjamin, isn't it? I'm joking. Oh, an actual coup d'etat against Cole. can neither confirm nor deny such plans. Okay. Josh D. Rivia says, morning. I'd just like to correct the record from last week. The fridge was invented by a Brit in the 1500s. I talked about that, didn't I? That he presented it to James I. Sadly, our version is ravaged by time. It is now 7 foot tall, weighs 6 tons, and full of disease. Oh, is this a reference to Angela the Fridge Rayner? Angela Rayner, MP, that's got the same body shape as a fridge. Big Bird. She's 7 foot two, weighs 500 pounds. Sorry, weighs 6 ton. Angela Rayner is 7 foot and weighs 6 ton. And has got the exact silhouette of a fridge. Okay. Lance Llewellyn says, they've written, quote, to be ignorant of what occurred before you were born is to remain forever a child, quote, B.B. Dade. And you put on, that was on the 28th of the 5th, 2022. Thank you. I must admit, that's not my quote. I was quoting Cicero, Marcus Tullius Cicero, Tully, to his friends. That's a Cicero quote. See, Matt Goodwin? Someone that's actually done some reading can just quote Cicero off the top of their head. They don't have to go on ChatGPT and get it wrong. Do some reading, Matt. Dr. Matt Goodwin. Really, who gave you that PhD, Matt? You don't seem very well read. I don't believe you've read any Cicero. I don't believe it. I've used that quote a number of times, actually. It's one of my favourite Cicero quotes. It's a real one, Matt. Okay, next one. Muscles Glacius says, claymation turtle is wild, lol. He does though, doesn't he? He does a bit. What was that? Creature Comforts. Do you remember that? Creature Comforts, the same people that make Wallace and Gromit. If you want to spend a nice half hour, go on YouTube and type in like claymation Creature Comforts or something. The turtle on that. But they're people, normal people talking, quite often with regional accents, about often mundane and humorous things. And they've put that, the audio of that, to claymation animals. There's one of them that's a turtle. Looks like Andy Bumham, King of the North, no Sternum Burnham. Okay, Ray Pittler doesn't say anything and just gives a bit of money there as a super chat. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Punish the Wrong, K2H, that's their name. Punish the Wrong says, never read The Odyssey, but I'm reading Joseph Chamberlain by Enoch Powell, which is a good read. Any epochs or shorthand about Chamberlain, good sir. Any epochs or shorthand about Chamberlain, good sir. I've definitely not done an epochs that concentrates on Chamberlain. I have mentioned him in passing a number of times. Me and Ed Dutton did a long-form bit of content about Churchill. We talk about Chamberlain in passing a bit there. But I haven't done anything. We're talking about actually Joseph Chamberlain, not Neville Chamberlain. I certainly haven't talked about Joseph Chamberlain. Maybe I should. Well, Enoch Powell wrote a book about him. Yeah, Enoch Powell was a prolific writer on top of everything else. A great man. Very prophetic. A great man. Very, very young professor. The real deal. No, I haven't ever really talked about Joseph Chamberlain. Perhaps I should. Okay, the next one. Rod_Knee says, from my perspective here in New Zealand, it seems the UK government is working against the native people of your land. Yeah, you seem to have called it correctly, yeah. Very similar thing going on in Australia and New Zealand as well, I would say. The way the Australian and New Zealand government treated you guys under lockdown, of the most egregious in the world. But no, you're quite right, Rodney, Rod_Knee, you're quite right. It does seem like that, doesn't it? It seems the UK government is working against the native people of your land. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that because they are. Yeah. There's no other way to interpret it at this point, is it? Is there? going to keep flooding you with millions of foreign people until our demographic is ruined and ultimately leads to our annihilation as a people. Yeah, I would call that working against the native people. Yeah, that's exactly what I would call that. Okay. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's their name. At Belgians are evil, trust me, says, read the Tate brothers. CPS has history of anti-male bias. Well, that's true. That's true. Do I completely trust the CPS? No. No, no, no. Don't get me wrong. Should have made that clearer. Do I trust them? No. Are they unbiased? No way. Not even close. So that's a fair point. That is a fair point. It could well be that the Tate brothers get their day in court and are completely exonerated. Could be. Okay, the next couple are from the same person. Belgians are evil, trust me. Says, CPS's Alison Saunders ordered conviction quotas. Yeah, yeah. That's insane, isn't it? That's Soviet. That's Stalinist, really. Stalin would do that. Give me a list of names. I don't care if they're guilty or innocent. There's not enough names on that. Give me another 1,000 names. Just find the names. That's how Nero behaved. People would come to Nero and saying, we haven't got enough guilty people. And he would say, make them guilty. Alison Saunders ordered conviction quotas. Okay, and that from the same person again. Belgians are evil, trust me, says, corroboration not required for SA crimes, misandrist. I mean, they should have their day in court, so you should be able to see. We'll see in open court. I don't know. I've never been in the presence of Andrew Tate in my life, so I don't know what he did or didn't do. Okay. The last three here. Punishing the wrong, again, says, short form not hand autocorrect had me over. Short form not hand autocorrect had me over. Oh, it's just your previous super chat. It's like autocorrect. Okay. No worries. And then Tatum2733 says, What if you woke up Emperor of Rome in the West in 475? Oh, that's a good question. That's a classic history nerd's question. In 475, though, if I woke up as Emperor of Rome, it's not a good, you're in a tough spot. That's not a good... If I woke up in 14 AD and woke up as Roman Emperor, or 177 AD, that would be good. That would be cool. You'd have options. You can play around and do stuff, manipulate the world like some sort of living god. That would be all right. In the year 475, you're staring defeat in the face no matter what you do, aren't you? 475? What's, if you quantum leaped back to 475, but with the brain you've got now, and you had just enough time to do research and development to sort of build canon real quick. Otherwise, that's not going to be fun. Okay, and the last one here. Again, from Belgians are evil, trust me, says, please, all capital, please Google Mark Pearson CPS. See what CPS did. Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, oh, I'm no fan of the CPS. Deeply suspicious and worried about the CPS. What they do and don't do. They brought charges somehow against Sam Melia, for example. Yeah, deeply concerning. No fan of the CPS, don't get me wrong. Okay, that's it. That's the show. That was the last one. It's now 9 minutes past 9 in the AM British Summer Time on Monday the 20th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it's not a thing. It just isn't. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you can make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Your time is the most valuable thing you will ever have by orders of magnitude. You think bits of gold and gemstones... You own a big house, big property, you think that's valuable? It's of no real value in the end. You can't take it with you. The most valuable thing you have is your time, and it's finite. It's later than you think. If you're at liberty today to do something valuable with your time, I implore you, try and make it count. All right, I don't want to get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning then. Take care.